Good, bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we do praise and thank you again for bringing us together, Lord, giving us a good night's rest. And maybe, Lord, for those who haven't had too much rest last night, we pray, my God, that you give them rest at this moment. Give them strength their body, Lord, because we know that thou art their strength. And we know that means all the way from the cradle to the grave. And our God supplies all of our needs by his riches and glory in Jesus Christ our Lord. We know you're going to supply our needs today at this time, Lord, which the greatest need is this word, Lord, which must become absolute life unto us, and we must become one with it, so that we, having the word, will know what to do with it and be absolutely a Christ-manifested bride, that he might appear amongst us, and not just amongst us as though he were doing signs and wonders, but he must actually appear in and through us. And we know then the end, it'll all be over. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we just trust and pray with all the hope and faith we have that we're absolutely a part of this bride at this time, O God. And standing here, we shall not taste the death. Lord, comfort each heart and guide us and direct us in the truth. May every word, Lord Jesus Christ, be thy word and very, very sincere. Lord, may we be just absolutely as perfect a copy of thee as we possibly can be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So happy to be here this morning with you and to the sharing in the blessing of the Lord. Always when God's people come together, we have that promise that the Lord is with us in our midst, and that's a blessing. Now, of course, we go beyond that. Remember in the book of Numbers, and then over in Psalm 68, and over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it speaks of God giving gifts to the church. And the anointed gifts to the church, of course, to the bride of the fivefold ministry. But also there are the gifts, those mighty gifts of manifestation, as recorded in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And then the psalmist says that God gave gifts to the church, and yea, to the rebellious also, that the Lord may be amongst them. And the little scripture that tells there were two or three are gathered there, the Lord is in the midst. And that's true, that you could be a drunken sinner, you could be a heinous criminal, three, and get there in the name of the Lord, and he'd be there, and there could be manifestation of gifts. The Lord's amongst them. That's right. Remember, he gave the rebellious gifts. And that word will show you today in the Hebrew. As you take it from the Septuagint, from the Hebrew to the Greek, the word rebellious means apostasy. To the apostate, to the end time apostate church, he gave gifts. And they're standing on that this morning as their vindication. Brother and sister, stick with thus saith the Lord. God sent a prophet. He said, when you see that man, you hear him and you fear him. But they went to their rebellion as a dog to its vomit. Nobody knows this word like you and I know this word, brother and sister, nobody. Because we're taught by the prophet. Nobody. I declare it without fear. Nobody knows this word like you and I do. But that brings a responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Brother Branham cried desperately, where are those men to go and take this word out? If I was called to do that, I'd be only too glad to go. It took me a long time to learn my place in my ministry, and I'm not about to forfeit it now. I learned long ago, somebody can't say, Dale, why did you do so-and-so? And I know you're organized because you're trying to make me just like you. I don't mean you people here. I use the you like the editorial we. I mean as a principle. I point my finger at no one, especially in this building. But I mean that variable you out there. That's what's in the world. How often I've had men come and say, why did you do so-and-so? I said, now you know I'm a little quick, and I almost say, why don't you mind your own business? That'd be just good almost to rock them. I cannot be categorized. God's done it. I cannot be molded. I hope he's doing it. I cannot be fashioned because I hope his finger is attaining that very thing. No, I couldn't say you do it, you do it, you do it. You got to be called to the place you're supposed to be called. But it's strange, as I've said in the last month or two, I don't know what's happened. A while ago we had evangelists and now they're all on the road teaching. I don't agree with that. I never heard God calling evangelists and making them a teacher. Brother, God didn't do it to Brother Branham. He said, do the work of evangelists. Brother Branham was not a pastor, except for the bride. He was not a pastor of the fivefold ministry. He was not a teacher in the fivefold ministry. He was not a prophet in the fivefold ministry. He was not an evangelist. He wasn't one of those five. If he had been, he would have been simply a Nicolaitan usurping authority. He was a prophet messenger, absolutely apart from and over the whole thing by the absolute vindicated word of Almighty God. He did the work of those men, but when it came down to ministry, he stood there, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, there's a difference. I don't have it. I got it second hand. I'm sure glad I got it that way. Like my sister-in-law, she's deceased now, a wonderful woman, and she said, I don't care who owns it, as long as I can use it. Oh, I'm so glad he had thus saith the Lord. And I'm so glad you and I can pick it up. It doesn't cost us anything except throwing a few thoughts away. Now, of course, that's a job at times. That is a corker at times. But just settle down and hold with it, it'll all come out right. Because he had thus saith the Lord. Remember the time he preached that sermon there in Yuma in December the 4th of 65. How it was he said that the shout was the message, and the voice brought forth the resurrection, and the trumpet brought forth wedding supper. And you know what? Man, he staggered me. I thought I'd been kicked between the eyes. In fact, I'd been kicked by a cow and knocked over. I'd been hit by the handle of a pitchfork and knocked for loop. But I never was knocked like that time when he said it. I said, oh. And I said, I've heard everything. I don't know if I can take this. And suddenly, like a voice said, when was he ever wrong? I said, okay, and the shout is the message, the voice is the resurrection, and blow the trumpet for the marriage supper. I'm ready to go. When was he wrong? You find me one word that prophet was wrong on. You can't do it. I've searched the Greek. I'm not a Greek student, but I've got some of the finest studies you can possibly buy in the Greek. And I have also as my friend, if I wish to phone him, Dr. Gustav Hoyer, who without a doubt is the most brilliant student in the Hebrew and the Greek. He preaches in it. He knows how to raise his eyebrows. He knows how to gesticulate. He knows exactly where his voice should come. And when you say, Brother Hoyer, what is this in the Greek? He begins speaking in the Greek, and every expression is fluid. He knows that Greek better than I know English. I used to know it pretty good one time. Oh, memory, where art thou gone? Preaching the Hebrew the same way, a fantastic man. If I had to have help, I could phone him, and I know he couldn't find Brother Branham out in one word. Remember the time I preached on serpent seed in Chicago? Brother Cyril knows, Brother Smith was up there at that time, and we were preaching on the subject serpent seed, and in walked Brother Hoyer, and I said, oh boy. He is a sweet fundamentalist. He loves the Lord, and he knows the Bible. Now, how is this going to be? And he's very staid. He's a gentleman scholar, very conservative. I wish you could meet him at times, except you can... He's harder to understand than I am, because he's a Swede with a terrible broken way of speaking English, and he talks about as fast as I do. Put the two together, and you'll catch one word out of ten about it. And he sat there listening, and I saw him sort of raise his eyebrows. Look at his wife. And she'd raise her eyebrows. Look at him. And I said, oh, boy. And this went on all night long. He never said a word at the door. Next night, we had supper together, and he said, Brother Bale, he said, last night, we heard some very strange things. My wife and I, we go home. We go to bed. We lie there till 3 o'clock in the morning, and we talk and we think. And we discover, you are right. Oh, brother. It's not that I need to stand anybody's approval when I preach what the prophet taught, but it is so good to hear that man say that. After the service that night, he said, Brother Bale, very apologetic, he said, now don't think I'm erratic. And he said, please don't judge me wrong. But I'd like to say something. I said, oh boy, what's this now? I'm going to get it written down. And it wasn't at all. He said, Brother Bale, from my studies in the Word of God. And he said, don't laugh, please, if you disagree. But I believe the bride will possess the creative Word of God in her. I said, my brother, the prophet said, thus saith the Lord will be there.
Amen.
He knows who the mark of the beast is, who's going to bring it. He told me in California, one of his best friends who preaches the very message of the Antichrist system was one day run over by a car. He was killed 2 blocks from his own home, and his wife never knew till he was faithfully embalmed and ready for the ground. He knows that man was killed because he was too bold. I don't say we're going to get killed. Worse things could happen. I don't know anything better than dying going to the Lord myself. It's just a matter of how you sort of reach a conclusion. It's a sort of bothered us at times. But those are in the hands of the Lord. Our times are in God's hands. I'm very happy to have Brother Searle with us. I want to say this, that I never met him when he came to America the first time, but, you know, I've got a telephone, and that telephone rings from a lot of places, New York and California and all over the country. And then when Brother Searle was also at the meeting, I'd get my phone calls, and I'd meet my brethren, and they'd say, "Did you meet Brother Searle?" And I said, "No, I haven't been." They said, "Man, you have missed a treat. We sure love Brother Searle." So, Brother Searle, you got a lot of friends over here. Well, and I think you know it. I would could have said, well, you know it or not, but you have a lot of friends. And everyone has spoken admiringly of his love and his fortitude in the gospel. And this is a good testimony, not only to the man, but to the credit of Jesus Christ. And I hope that he finds amongst us here, too, that there will be those who, if they should go somewhere, that they may have the same imprint, which is an impress of love, solicitude, and of tolerance and forbearance, and all those things that make up the grace of Almighty God. So we're very happy to have him here, not just because he's from a far place. That's always encouraging and nice to know that somebody came a great distance. Well, I know he didn't come the great distance just to come here, but I'm glad he dropped by to see us. And you folk who have a chance to talk with him and to meet Brother and Sister Searle, I know they'll be happy to talk with you and to exchange greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever we go, there's so many fine people in this world. If we just took time to know them and to look around a bit, we'd find that there are many, many fine people. I remember a story told. It was not a joke, really, but it was kind of a joke. It seems there was a traveler going through town one time, and he stopped in this town, and he said, "Sir," he said, "you look like you're a knowledgeable man, and you know what the people are around this area. What are the folk like around here?" And this man said, "Hey," he said, "what were they like where you left?" He said, "They were the meanest folk in all the world." He said, "You'll find the same kind here." And they went, and he went on. He said, "You better not stay here." Another fellow came by, and he met the same gentleman. And he said, "Sir," he said, "you look knowledgeable, intelligent." He said, "What are the folk like around here?" He said, "Well, I tell you, what were they like where you left?" He said, "They were the finest folk. They were the sweetest folk I hid in these." He said, "You'll find the same kind right around here." That's only too true. I'm glad it's true, even though sometimes it's kind of hard to take. And, you know, wishing the thing doesn't make it so, but making the thing makes it so. That's right. So we praise the Lord. And for the good men we meet come across our pathway, and I know you folk love your pastor here, because most of the folk I believe here, majority from the Greendall Church, and you also know Brother Rosinke, and these brethren have been pioneers in this ministry, this message here, and I know that you love them and you appreciate their graciousness and how they've battled so well and so strong in the Lord with patience and understanding. And I just have this to say about them. I wouldn't try to eulogize anybody. If I say anything, I want to be sincere, but in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, as such are the kingdom of God. That's right. Now, I've taken some time here, but maybe I can skip two or three pages out of these scrawly notes I've got here on the mystery of iniquity. Remember yesterday, last night, we talked about the fact that the mystery, as Brother Branham said, it was the word of God come down out of heaven. Now, maybe I got my little note here, and I'll just see if I can find what he said. Just read it. Here's what he said. The third pole was the opening of the seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the word. The mystery came down from God as the word of God and revealed the entire revelation of God. What are the mysteries? The mysteries are merely God's way of hiding the truths of God in his word, that by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they become doctrine, the teaching of God to you and me. Now, the mystery of iniquity, of course, is found over here in the second book of Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, and we could just read the seventh verse. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now led us will let till he be taken out of the way." In other words, Paul is saying there is a teaching on iniquity. There is something you ought to know. And he said, "I'm telling you about it now." And so he speaks of it in this particular portion of Scripture. Now, the mystery of iniquity started way back in Paul's age, but could never be truly revealed or interpreted until it was the time to be manifested, because that is how God interprets His Word. Now remember, although this is true, that God interprets His Word by manifestation, there comes a time in history when it is too late to know the secret of the Word by history or by a complete manifestation. The people will know who the bride is or was, and they'll know they're under the Antichrist too late. We cannot be in that position. We must be in a position of revelation when there is impending judgment. So God at this age sent a prophet to tell us with "Thus saith the Lord" exactly who and what was the mystery of iniquity, what it is all about. Up until this time, men guessed at it. And I believe it's for this reason. Remember how those scrolls were made? They're wrapped up around a little stick, and they're rolled and rolled and rolled, and then they're sealed. Now, there are two types of manuscripts. The manuscript which has the writing on one side, the manuscript which has the writing on both sides. In the book of Revelation, John saw the manuscript with the writing on both sides because it has a special name, showing that you cannot add to it or take from it. Now, when the seals were put upon those, upon that rolled up manuscript, then you'll notice it wasn't completely covered. But you could sort of look at the words between the seals. And maybe someone would look and he'd say, "Well, I saw a few words in there. I believe it's this." Some other scholars say, "No, from my understanding of God's Word, I believe it's this." And the only way you could really know what was in that book clearly, rip off those seals and stop guessing. And that's exactly what happened under the ministry of our beloved William Branham. Now, so at this time, we know from what the prophet taught what is the mystery of iniquity and how it is going to come, how it will all take place. And of course, Brother Branham told us the mystery of iniquity would be at the end time the church, the people worshiping the devil, thinking it's God through the church system. Now we're going to talk about that now, the worship, and as much as we can in the Word of Almighty God. Now, notice what it says here in 7:8. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that now letteth or hindereth will hinder till he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now this is talking, of course, of the Antichrist. Now, the mystery of iniquity is manifested in a man. It will be the embodiment of Satan, for he works exactly in Satan's way. It will be Satan in a man. Remember, Satan could not get in a man at the beginning. He could not get into Adam. He could not get into Eve. He got into something that was almost identical to a man. But remember, with the one lump, he was able to get into Judas. And remember, Jesus said in John 6:70, one of you is the devil. It does not say one of you is a devil. It says one of you is Diabolus, one of you is the devil. The identification was there. And once Judas had taken the salt from the hand of Jesus Christ and eaten it and taken the wine, the Bible said the devil entered into him. And of course, it's going to be the embodiment of Satan, or the mystery of iniquity is going to be in a man. Now this mystery of the Antichrist coming and the full fruition of the mystery of iniquity, where they're going to worship Satan, really thinking he's God, through a church system, is going to come, it's related to the day of the Lord. Now notice in there, in that second verse, it says that you soon be not shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by letter, word, nor by letter after us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now that word in the Greek is not Christ. It is J-A-H or Jehovah. It is the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord, according to the Bible, refers to the day of battle, the day when God fights for Israel and defeats their enemy. Now, let's just take some scriptures in here. Say Jeremiah 46 and verse 10. For this is the day of the Lord of hosts, God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood, for the Lord God of hosts as a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Now you'll notice in there the day of battle, God defeating the enemy, his enemy, and the enemies of Israel. Also, we could go to Isaiah, the second chapter, and verse 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, upon everyone that lifted up, and he shall be brought low. You show me a name that's prouder and loftier in the Laodicean church age. We're increased in goods and don't lack a thing. Who needs anything? We've got it all. Don't talk to me. Who do you think you are? Why, there never was a prouder, loftier day than this day. All right? Now, with that, we go to Acts, the second chapter. Just want to show you what time this comes about. Acts 2, and in verse 20, the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And also over here in 2 Peter, the third chapter, and in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now you can see here that the bride is already raptured when this takes place, because the day of the Lord is when God brings his complete retributive wrath upon the whole world and to set up the millennial kingdom. So therefore now we can see that this mystery of iniquity, the real truth and the real manifestation, had to remain veiled in the Word until just about this time. See? It's got to come at the very end time. And then it will be in full-blown manifestation, and people will be taking the mark of the beast and worshiping without even knowing what they're doing. They'll be caught as a bird in the net by the fowler, and they'll be destroyed in that great and dreadful day. Now notice also something about this mystery of the day of the Lord, as we go to Acts, the first chapter, and verses 6 to 7. When they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said, them it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. All right? Now that's about the second coming, the setting up of the kingdom. And the Father hath put it in his own times and power, and it's in the season he wants to bring it forth. Now with that, of course, 2 Thessalonians, if you don't get these, just hear me read them, and you listen the best you can to what I'm saying. And then in the 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 6, and now you know it withholdeth until he be revealed in his time. There's a certain time for this, and it cannot come before that time. Now it's there working, see? It's there all the time. It's there working. But it can't come into manifestation and the proof of the authenticity of the Word of God until a certain time. And that time is the end time. Now, if we know for sure we're at the end time, then, brother, sister, this mystery has got to be absolutely in full revelation by the prophet. So, both of these comings have their own times and seasons, and God is going to reveal it to us. Now, notice also in verse 3 that there cannot come either the day of the Lord or the manifestation of the man of sin until there be a falling away. Now, let's go to 2 Thessalonians, of course, which I'm quoting from, and we may have time to let you get your Bibles open up on that one. All right? The third verse. Let no man deceive you by any means. He said, don't. Now listen, by any means. See? Now, in other words, there must be something so absolutely definite that this is the thing that identifies it and sets it apart. Now, he said, don't be deceived by any means, no matter what comes. So there must be some identification that we can stand on, right? That's exactly what we're preaching, identified prophet, thus saith the Lord, but who wants it? There's got to be something that'll hem you in, something you can stand on, something you can rest on, that when the billows begin to flow towards you, the waves are dashing high, and the winds are about in their strife to destroy you, you stand and say, hold it! Something else is my identification. See? Oh, if those people who said they believed Brother Branham only could understand this, we would not have this problem as long as we have. where men know not which way to turn because they're so confused. Brother, sister, the prophet did not bring confusion. He brought clarity. See? I know it sounds like sometimes he brought confusion, but don't you believe it. Now, it says, there, by don't be deceived by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, of course, the word falling away is apostasy. It's also found in the Greek as meaning separation, and oftentimes used as a divorce. I won't stress that this morning. The word is apostasy. Now, if you go back to Septuagint, and remember, the Septuagint is the Old Testament Hebrew written in Greek by 70 scholars. That's why it's called the 70, Septuagint. Septus. Step 70. Now, Ptolemy of Alexandria had 70 Greek students rewrite the Hebrew into the Greek. And remember, this is the book that Peter quoted from, the Septuagint. This is what Jesus used. This is what Peter used. They used the Septuagint. So if you go back and you take the Greek, the Old Testament written in the Greek, you are going to find that the word in the original word from the Hebrew to the Greek for apostasy is rebellion. Rebellion. Now let's go to Joshua 22 and 22. We got to find out about this apostasy. And see, look, we got to know from the Word of God, and as I said the other day, if the answer's not in this book, then throw it away. Got to be there. Make no mistake about it. If it's pertaining to this life, brother, sister, it's got to be there. All right, Joshua 22 and verse 22. Now, the Lord God of God, the Lord God of God, He knoweth, and Israel shall know, if it be in rebellion, or if it in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day. Now, what happened here? Remember, there were certain tribes who said, we will not go into Canaan's land and stay there. We will fight for you. We will help you possess it. Then we're going to come on back home and stay on this side. And Moses said, all right, if you want to do it, it's okay. And Joshua said, if you want to do it, it's okay. So what they did, they fought for Israel and then went back home. When they got back home, they began to erect an altar. And right away, the heads of Israel, the Levites, they said, hold it. What's going on across that river? Are they attempting to build an altar and there worship God when you know you can only build one altar for all of Israel and there with the Ark of the Covenant? And they said they are in rebellion. They have apostatized because they dare to worship God in their own way and apart from the prescribed word which God laid down. You with me? You with me? I mean, are you with me? If you're not with me, you don't see this message. Because you don't just worship God any way you want. Because Jesus said, your worship of me is vain. And vain means it doesn't amount to a thing. It was useless. You did it without a proper ending. It's all over. See, you cannot worship God in any way but the way that God prescribed. That Brother Brown said God put his name in one gate. There is one place where we meet and worship God, which is in Jesus Christ. And here you find that type. There was only one place you could worship Almighty God, and that was in Israel. God did not have any followers anywhere else. Actually, it was through the lineage of Abraham. If you read that ninth chapter of the book of Romans, and you'll find what Israel had. They had the adoption. They had the fathers. They had the covenants. They had the promises. They had the ministering of the Word of God. They had it all. But, brother, sister, they failed because they lacked the revelation of what they had. See? And now you've got the picture here that rebellion, apostasy, is where people attempt to worship God in their own way, away from the prescribed way that God laid down. See? Apostasy. Oh my, people think apostasy means you had an experience and you fell away. Huh, my brother, my sister, would to God more people fell away from their experiences. And fall in the arms of Jesus Christ by the Word. See what revolting ideas we have if we don't know this Word? Now you know I'm telling you just what the prophet said. Come on. You know it. I'm just bringing it to you, breaking the Word down. Isn't that what he told us to do? He said, I'll hit the high spots, you break it down. Okay? He hit the high spots. He told us this. There is one place to meet and worship God, and that is in Christ the Word. Not just Christ, but Christ the Word. Remember, William Branham, the prophet of God, said Christ on the outside of the church. Now then, also there was the time that Ahaz destroyed the sacred vessels from the altar. Let's go to 2 Chronicles, the 19th chapter. 29th chapter, I'm sorry. All right, 29 and 19. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified. Now, notice the word transgression there. What is it? It is apostasy. The apostasy of Ahaz. He took away from the worship of God that which was necessary. How do you feel today? How would you feel if you were Brother Branham with the Spirit of God upon you, being veiled by the pillar of fire, veiling that Word of God, standing before the throne, saying, "Thus saith the Lord." If you've been baptized in the Trinity, you must be rebaptized. And people just walk away. They took away water baptism. There's a man today that says he believes this message took away water baptism. They've taken away feet washing. There are those who say they believe this message and took it away. There are those who took away communion service. They say they believe this message and took it away. How can you do that? There are those who took away the Bible ministry and stay home and twiddle their thumb. See? There are those who have their own idea. They've abnegated church order when Brother Branham most distinctly said church order was part of the seven seals. Apostasy, rebellion, taking away from the service of God that which God indicated. Right today the papers are full of this Jesus cult thing. I'm not going to run them down, but I happen to know one of the men was eulogized in Life magazine, and he does not even believe in being baptized in water. But they're speaking in tongues. They're winning souls. How can you win souls apart from the Word of God? It's that corruptible seed. Where Peter warns us, sure, be born again, but be careful how you're born again. Born of the Word, or born of some creed or dogma? See? All right. We go further. Then there was a time, we won't look up the scripture on this, where in Jeremiah, where they went to idols, they went down to Egypt. What did the Word Jesus say about that? He said, the Gentiles seek authority, but such shall not be named among you. They want organization. Thank God this cannot be organized. You know all this talk of people we have about confusion here. One fellow says this and one fellow says that. You know what? In my saner moments, I thank God for it. You know why? Because when people are that disorganized, so to speak, then they can never get organized. And it's an individual matter if you've got the revelation. That's why Brother Branham said, love each other. And I stress it. I want you to know it. We must love each other because we don't know who has the call of the bride upon him. Because Brother Branham said, it is Mount Zion showdown, and that's the rapture that's going to prove who's got what. In the meantime, we can secure ourselves a place of safety at the white throne judgment by helping each other and loving each other and doing everything we can. May God help us to see this, and may God help me be able to see it best of all, because I'm preaching and I need it. See? I was going to cut your throat in the next 5 minutes. You know I'd tell you the truth if it killed me and killed you both. I won't lie for 1 minute. Sometimes it's cutting, sometimes it's hard. I'll not defend you and not defend myself. I want to stand true to this Word. But brother, sister, let's faith in standing true to the Word of God. And the best we know, somebody else may be standing just as true the best he knows. And there's going to be a Mount Zion showdown to prove who's. That's what the prophet said? You know he said it. Now, we go further here. Isn't it true that this is the last day, the last age? Isn't it true the word Laodicea means people's rights? And isn't people's rights anarchy? Because we don't have any rights? Gravity don't work. Sun don't go down. Moon don't come up. Right. We have the privilege of living in harmony if we only would. We don't have rights. People's rights, anarchy. Every nation rises in rebellion. The youth are up in arms. We've given them the book. I guess you're in Canada here. I don't know about Saskatchewan. I think Alberta. And they give the youth the 18-year-old youth the vote. What does an 18-year-old boy know about anything? Now, years ago he would have, but today he doesn't. Simply tell a youth, what does he know? They'll take over, you bet. They're doing it now. They've got more money to spend than you and I ever dreamed of spending. It's a miserable situation. Anarchy, rebellion from the cradle. And one day God is going to stamp it out. See? Anarchy in the Laodicean church age. It is the church in its apostasy that brings on this man of sin. I repeat, it's the church, not communism. It's the church, the worshipers, those that claim to know God and are supposed to be known of God. It is this church that brings on this man of sin. The mystery of iniquity in the church brings about the man of iniquity. Notice in verse 10. In 2 Thessalonians. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They receive not the love of the truth. That is the apostasy in a nutshell. They left the word of Almighty God. They left it. They put it away. Now you got to have the truth to deny. So therefore, the truth has to come at the end time in order to bring about rebellion. There can be no rebellion unless there is a law. Paul said, I had not sinned except the law said, thou shalt not covet. There could not be a rebellion unless there's something to go against. Now notice what they call this fellow who is the Antichrist. In verse 3, they say he is the man of sin. In verse 8, he is called the wicked one. Now, these two titles are identical. Because man of sin and wicked one are actually lawless one. It should not be translated man of sin. It should be called lawless one. And over here, the wicked one should be called the lawless one also. Now, let us understand about lawlessness. You got to know your Bible. You got to know what it teaches to understand what this lawless person is. Let's go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. I think it's the 4th verse. All right? That's the epistle. 1 John 3 and 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is a transgression law. Now in the margin of your Bible, you may notice the correction. Not for sin is the transgression of the law, but sin is lawlessness. Now, let's just look at this. You know, sometimes you got to sit back and think. And you're thinking, as Brother Branham said, if you let your own thinking go, then God will do something for you. Now, lawlessness. Now look at how in the world can there be any such thing as lawlessness? There ain't no such animal. Everything is based upon a law. Isn't that right? You show me one thing that's not based upon a law. There's nothing that's not based upon a law, so there's no such thing as lawlessness, per se. You gotta say, what is this all about then? Everything is based upon a law. You see, I can't break a law. If I could break a law, I could destroy it. Then you break the law of gravity. You don't break the law of gravity. You superimpose another law that stops gravity. That's lawlessness. Lawlessness is to take the laws that God laid down and use them toward a wrong end. That's what lawlessness is. That's what sin is. There's only one sin, and that's unbelief, and that's an intrinsic thing. That's the sort of an ethereal thing. See? Faith, what is it? It's the realm of the supernatural, it's the realm of the mind, and the realm of the spirit. But you, listen, grab me a handful of faith. Will somebody do that, please? Put it under a microscope. Can do it. Brother Branham said lying is not a sin. What it is, it's the attributes of sin. It's the truth perverted. You couldn't have a lie, except there'd be a truth there somewhere. See? So, as you examine the word, you can see here that you take the very laws that God laid down for an intended purpose, and they are used for something else, or we try to take to attain the same purpose by some law that God did not recommend to that end. See what it is? Now you can see right where we're at. It all dovetails with this message we're talking about. This is where the church ends up worshiping the devil, thinking it's God. And they actually take a man in whom is Satan incarnate and admit that he is God. You say, how can this be done? It's done by that which is in the world right today, but through perversion, it misses God and goes to the devil. See, it's perversion. Brother, sister, as long as you live, listen to me carefully now, you will never understand the message of William Marion Branham until you understand perversion. That's the secret to the whole thing. Perversion. Perversion. Hybridization. Taking that good thing of God and using it contrary to the way which God intended it. See, look at the good offices of God. Look at that good office of preaching. What a wonderful thing to be called a God. No woman can preach. Let her preach. Does that destroy the office of a minister? No. Perverts it. Then she's a pervert. And those who listen are perverted with her. You follow me now what we're talking about? Your lawlessness? There's no such thing as lawlessness per se. See? But it's when you take what God laid down and misuse it, abuse it, or in some way take it out of its context. Finished right there. See? Now, the original iniquity was found in Genesis, the second chapter, 9 and 17. I've been talking about it. Let's go back and see it. Chapter 2, verse 9, God said, the Bible says, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight. Do you believe that? And good for food. You believe that? I want to ask you a question then. If God made every tree that's good for food to come out of the ground, then is it possible that a tree that you eat up to kill you came out of the ground? No. If it came out of the ground, you could eat all you want. Couldn't kill you. Right? So it says, so the tree couldn't come out of the ground. And therefore, it's not a tree with roots. It's another kind of tree. Now right here, you will notice in the Hebrew text, and many places, Brother Branham will suddenly lash out like, not defending himself, but cutting across people thinking, and say, I have my own idea of that tree, but of course you don't believe it, or something like that. And he said, it's the woman. He said, then Brother Bell, why do you say it's perversion? Because I'm taking the spiritual side that he taught us, while he took the physical side, where the spiritual side came into manifestation, see, through the physical, and when you've got a spiritual pervert, you've got a physical pervert. Because everything comes according to a seed. Pervert the seed, you got a pervert, right? Come on, faith. How could you have a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and be one word out? Now that's cutting it fine, but I got to stay at the problem. Say, Brother Dale, what if you get condemned by preaching it? Then I'm condemned by preaching it. But then God won't say, well, Dale, you preached it wrong. It's just a pity you didn't have it. I won't have condemnation say he preached it wrong and he had it wrong. Hey, stick with this word no matter what it costs. Now, sure, the tree was the woman. When it comes to the physical, that's where it appeared. But remember, Brother Branham absolutely stated in the greatest matter of thought, a man cannot sin until first he casts aside the Word of God. And how did she cast aside that Word? She never cast it aside. So I don't believe it. I can't take that. She took the perverted Word where Satan played Scripture against Scripture, and she based her life on what he taught her. Scripture against Scripture. You can't even take Scripture and bring them together. And say, I don't know if this is what it means. You'll fall every time. It takes the revelation of Almighty God, brother, sister. That's why I stick with what the prophet taught, because he had the revelation. He had thus said the Lord. I'm so glad he did. I'm sure glad he did. Even if I'm going to be condemned, I'm sure glad he had it for the sake of somebody else. Now, the 17th verse of the same chapter. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. And the day you eat thereof, dying thou dost surely die. Brother, sister, at the end time, we are a lukewarm church. Good and evil, is black and white makes gray. Cold and hot makes lukewarm, right? Perversion. We're right back to the original tree. That's right. That's exactly how Antichrist comes in and worships God. And that's exactly what Eve was doing. She was worshiping God by her own way. See? Now, let's trace this further. Perverted truth shows up here in 1 John, Epistle of John, 1 John. I'm going to really preach on this later on, but I want to just hit this right now. I want to give you a detailed message. Alright, 1 John 3, 9:13. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That's good. And this the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. For whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message you heard in the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. What was the evil work of Cain? He worshipped God without a revelation. You believe it? You gotta believe it, because that's what the prophet said. Is the mystery really getting clear to you? Is it getting clear? Iniquity, rottenness, rebellion, apostasy by a bunch of people who really are sincere. Yeah, they can be sincere, but they're going right down that path contrary to the word of Almighty God. And I don't care what they manifest. The Bible said they had gone the way of Cain. And they've also been taken in by the error of Balaam, thinking that you can use the gift that God gave you any way you want to use it. This is our day, brother, sister. See where we're at? If this cannot be identified by the people, then I've got only one thing to say, like Brother Branson, bind Laodicea. And then he turned to the Pentecost and said, dead works, almost with a snarl of contempt. It wasn't, though. Don't worry. He never snarled of contempt. Remember, he called the Canadians in Edmonton a bunch of mossbacks. And he said, God made me say that. I'm not laying any claim to what God's making me say today. I'm saying what the prophet said, and I'm trying to tell you in the way in which he said it. Blind Laodicea, dead works. Supporting missionaries by the hundreds and giving millions of dollars. Circumnavigating the whole world to make a two-fold child of hell. You say, Brother Bill, that's cutting. I can't help what's cutting. Listen, when I go home at night, even preaching like last night, and I wasn't really hard last night. I go home in that bed, and my nerves are bad, and my body in trouble, and I say, who are you to tell those people anything? And I want to cry and leave the ministry. What do you think he felt like? You think it's fun to stand up and lay that word down, even though you cut across people? You say, well, Brother Bale, why are you so cutting? I don't mean to be cutting. I went to Brother Branham. I was reduced to tears. I said, Brother Branham, I said, I'm too rough and hard when I preach. He said, that's your nature. Oh, I said, come on, Bill. I talked to him once in a while by his first name. Oh, I said, come on now. You can carry your thing too far, and this is just too far. I said, I hit too hard. He drew back with that funny veil look across his face, and he said, Lee, it's too late in the day. You've got to tell him and tell him on her. You can't back down. Now, don't ever think I'm trying to cut you, because I'm not. I hope you understand that. And love a little bit. If you don't love me, I don't want you to love me. That's okay by me. That's your business. But love the Word. Love the... I'm having a good time with the Word. Not the part that cuts, but the Word is there. Now listen, Brother Branham said that. Worshipping without a revelation. Now faith is a revelation. So therefore, without faith, you cannot please God. So no matter what you do to please Him, you can't please Him if you don't have that revealed faith. See, Cain brought that sacrifice. It didn't work. Religious kind. Look at Brother Brown said about Esau. Esau was a nicer boy than Jacob. Jacob, he said, that little shyster. Used to kind of gall on me to hear him call him a shyster, but that's right. There was a kind of a shickle groober, I guess, in there somewhere down the line. And I'll tell you what. And Brother Branham talks out. Esau stayed home and helped his blind pappy and helped his sweet dear mother there. And God says, I hate him. And he did his best to repent, and he couldn't do it. He could not change his mind. He could not grasp that word. There's a lot of good folk can't grasp that word. But brother, sister, that fact does not make them heir to the kingdom because they're nice folk and they can't get it. Jesus said the very word of God says that you've been blinded. I don't want you to see. Oh my, that's hard to see. What kind of a God is God anyway? He's just that kind of a God, and I love him for it. You say, well, you're perverted. Well, hallelujah. Thank God for that kind of perversion. I won't back away one inch. I want to worship the God of the Bible and just forget the whole thing.
Amen.
What kind of a God is he? He's the God of the Bible. Well, who knows what the Bible says? The prophet of God. How do you know? Thus saith the Lord. You see a man can draw himself up like a little sweet little fellow did, suddenly whirl on that congregation, be it 5 or 50 million, and say, I take every spirit under my control in this building for the glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ. You couldn't hide it. You tried, though Pentecostal preachers walked on that platform, as no doubt Baptist preachers did too. And meeting after service, they leave. I don't understand it. Shake his head. I don't understand it. How do they think they're hiding? Two men, two preachers, he called them Pentecostal, were on that platform just last night, each with other men's wives, and they thought I didn't know. He couldn't hide. He wasn't God. Nope. But he revealed God. Now, notice what Jesus called Israel. Let's go back and see what Jesus called Israel. John 8. Now remember, you've got to bring Israel up to date with us. I don't have time to preach that message paralleling the times, but I can take and show you exactly what Israel had, and we've got the same thing right today. Not one bit of difference. Okay. John 8, 44 to 47. You are of your father the devil. He said, your source is the devil, because the word in the Greek for father in Hebrew is source. Not mama. Come on now, you matriarchs. You know why the Jews today are more perverted than any nation in the world? Because the women are all matriarchs. They run their husbands, natter, natter, yak, yak, scream, scream. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just the Jewish women doing, there's a whole lot of Gentiles doing it too. Yes, sir. That's where perversion comes. That's why they've got that's where homosexuality and pornography and all these other lustful things come from. When the women get perverted and take the headship, then everything goes down. Why? Because God said the man did. Well, Brother Dale, the thing is this. My husband, never mind that. See, just shot you out there. I know a real sweet guy and a real sweet woman. Brother Branham had an interview with them. And he turned to her, to him, and he said, in business, you listen to your wife. She's smart. He turned to her and said, it's spiritual things. You follow him. Now, if you ladies are crack shots at business, I'll forgive you and so the Lord. If you advise him what stock to buy and what job to take, and that's all right by me. But you keep away from anything spiritual. Your husband, if he's a godly man, is your head. And that's exactly where it stays. I can't help it, brother, sister, because here is the refuge and here is the glory to do what Jesus said. It's the finest feeling in the world to know that you have done what Jesus said and stand on it. And I know it. When you know that you stood at that word. Now, he said, your source is the devil and the lust of your father. That word lust is too hard. It's pleasures. You see, when you tone it down, what happens? It makes you see the light. See, some words here are too hard, and some aren't hard enough. Pleasures. You do what you like to do. How do you like to worship? Well, I have my own way, Brother Dale. It's so sweet. I sit in meditation, and I think those nice, sweet thoughts. Well, now, that's all right. Is it with the Bible, your sweet thoughts? See? Sure, that's okay. See, pleasures. Now, notice, we're going to keep reading here. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you confutes me in one word? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. There you are. You say, well, I believe this man's a God because he's such a fine moral character. That doesn't prove a thing. I believe this man's a God because he's got a great good ministry. That doesn't prove a thing. I believe this man's of God because he hears God's word which came by the prophet.
I'll agree right there.
Why? Because that's what the Bible said. Now, I might have my own ideas, and I might want to add to it or take from it. But let's just stay with the Bible. He that heareth God's word, and Brother Branham said, to hear is to understand. That's right. That's what the book of John says. To hear is to understand. See? Where if I can find that verse. Yeah. He that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said, did we not say that you're a Samaritan, you've got a devil? That's the first thing they tell you. Say, that's something wrong with you. You don't even belong to it. You're none but an old Samaritan. You don't belong to Brian. You don't belong to God. See? Always they'll blackball you. They'll put you out of the lodge. Well, that's fine. We don't mind being put out of the lodge. Let's go back to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Verses 3 to 13, that's a long reading, but I shouldn't make to read it all. Well, we'll do it. He answered and said, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? See? Lawlessness. Where did they start with? They started with the word, right? Then how did they get away from it? By adding to it and taking from it. For God commandeth, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. He that curses father and mother, let him die the dead. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. What that means, I don't know. And honors not his father, his mother. But Jesus was angry at it. Now, thus you have made the commandment of God to none effect by your tradition. You realize that the word of God, the very promises that men try to stand on, are voided by adding one word to it or taking one word from it or misinterpreting it. See? Or misplacing it. The word of God must be interpreted by the Holy Spirit through the voice of the messenger for the day, and people get it and believe it, and to twist it or do it as violence and to violate it anyway is to bring death. It's to void the very thing you say you're standing on. And if people say they're standing on God, they have voided their stand by twisting the word. Oh, I know that goes over like a lead balloon in the world. They say, oh, babe, you're crazy, like that crazy prophet. What do you got, an axe to grind, a chip in your shoulder, hate everybody? That's what they said to Jesus. They didn't hate him because of what he did. They hated him because of what he said. They said, listen, fella, raise all the dead. In fact, we've got several graveyards out there. I bet you see my grandma and my grandpap again. Sure love those old folks. Bring them up. And as for loaves and fishes, I always did hate to work. Oh, man, you're a good guy. Stick around, please. But what did you say a while ago about our tradition? Well, your tradition made void the word of God. Well, let the dead stay in the graveyard and we'll work for the sweat of our brow. Beat it. Huh? I want to tell you one thing, buddy. Word of misunderstanding is coming home. Because somebody said something. Why do my in-laws drive me crazy? Because they say something. And why do I drive them crazy? Because I say something. Is it what they do? No, because they love the grandkids. And the grandkids love grandma and grandpa. What is what they say? Huh? Sorry. They loved Jesus, so they began to talk. And then they said, forget it, go back working. It's the same with us. Don't you see the whole picture? It's this word. We receive it. We believe it. We stand on it. If you don't understand it, that's all right. Just wait till he shows you. But don't tell me you can't understand it because Brother Branham said otherwise. You see, I know one place he said, I don't care what he said. He said, he also said. He said, he also said. Get the viewpoint. Get the viewpoint. Like he said several places about the dead in Christ rising. And he said in one place, we're going to see him before we're changed. Another place, he said, you've got to be changed to see him. What do you mean? Check it through. You're going to find out, as I recall, I believe he said, that you're going to be able to see them before you're changed, but you're going to have to be changed to see them go up. Check it out. Five places, I think, it's in the tape. I think there's five places. I'm not sure, but I think there's five. Three one way, two another way. And the closest I can see it is we are going to have to be changed, and we'll see in what. But remember, he said, when those disciples saw those saints come out of the graves, they sure had resurrection faith. Well, certainly, resurrection faith was there to be had. That's why the resurrection took place. Okay, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Verse 9. And he called the multitude and said, hear and understand. Not just hear, understand. Hear, even understand. K in the Greek. Not that which goes in a man's mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, that defiles a man. The disciples came and said, knowest thou not the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted is rooted up. Rooted up with what? The Word of God. You know the Word of God's an uprooter? Sure is. Roots them up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of blind. What did he say? Get away from them. But the blind leads the blind, both fall in the ditch. Then answered Peter and said, declaring this is parable. And he said, don't you have any understanding yet? He said, it's no parable. He told you the truth. Don't you understand? Whatever enters the mouth goes in the belly and is cast into the draft. But those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart the proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, and so on and so on. And you can see here what Christ is doing concerning these apostate ones. They had so much, at least they thought they had so much, but they weren't with the Word. Now I said a while ago that this lawless one could only come at a certain time. When is that certain time? Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in thy name? And thy name cast out devils? And thy name gone over works? And I'll profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now remember, this is iniquity, lawlessness. Depart from me, you that work lawlessness. You that minister these gifts apart from the word to a wrong end. That's right, the error of Balaam. Now, with that, what time does that take place? Matthew 24:24. Okay? For there shall arise false Christ, false anointed ones. Not the anointing false, the person false. Even false prophets are the same thing. And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, these are genuine signs and wonders by the Holy Ghost in these men's ministries who are false. And remember, they're sheep, they're wolves in sheep clothing. They have everything what you expect from a sheep, but they don't have the word. And they're trying to take you into their arms, as Paul said, to make you disciples of them. Now, if you listen to me, and I teach you contrary to William Branham, you are no longer his disciples, you're Lee Vale's disciples. That's right. That's exactly right. That's what Paul said, so I can't say anything less. You say, but Brother Vale's a good, honest, sincere man. He wouldn't do it? Oh, yeah? See, there you are, wolf in sheep's clothing. Don't even recognize it. You follow me? See, that's why Brother Branham finally said, listen, just say what I said. If you don't have that God-given ability to trace this through the Scripture and understand it that way, just stand with what he said. See? Now, to say what I said. Now, there's going to be these people in the end days. And he said, behold, I told you before, which he did over there in Matthew 7, 15 to about 22. Now, notice also in Acts 2, chapter 2, book of Acts. Here's something that really startled me as God showed me this. Acts 2, 16 to 17. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days. L-A-S-T is not F-I-R-S-T. Peter spoke on the very F-I-R-S-D of Pentecost. So the first few years were the F-I-R-S-T-D-A-Y-S. And the last, L-A-S-T, is when the Gentiles bring in the last bride and God turns to the Jews. And now he said at the last days, God is going to pour his spirit upon A-double-L flesh. And A-double-L means A-double-L. And he said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants, and on my women servants, I'll pour the Spirit in those days. And what are they going to do? They're going to prophesy. How are you going to pour Spirit upon the people? Right? Now there's two kinds of people. And they both got the Spirit. And the identification lies in the testimony. Okay. Let's go back to the book of Revelation. I really got a good memory. I'm going to have to call on somebody to help me because I'll get mixed up on this. Well, I found it goody for me. Revelation 19 and verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said, a man said, see, thou do it not. I am of thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Right there, there's a man. And John was going to fall at his feet. And he was a human being. And he said, I am not an angel. I am not God. Don't worship me. But evidently, he was a prophet. And there's a last day prophet, William Branham. I don't know if John saw him or what. I think Brother Branham did make a statement relating this to himself. I can't be sure because I don't remember the tape, and I don't recall ever having heard it, but a boy told me what was said. I don't know. But I know one thing, that this great human being for the end time, because that's the end time, said, don't you worship me. He said, I'm not God. You worship God. And he said, I am one of those who have the testimony to Jesus Christ, which is a spirit of prophecy. And that's what these folk are doing. They've got a spirit of prophecy on them, and one of them is false. So there are two groups of people at the end time with power, signs, and wonders, and one has the word, and the other doesn't have the word. Now, that's at this end time. Now remember, the anointing is genuine, but the people are wrong. And here's where Jesus said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now listen. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, I command you. Then the command which should have brought life, how come it brought death? Just like with Eve. Populate the earth. Didn't tell her how. She was to wait and he told her how and when. She let the devil trick her. She did God a service apart from God's will. Just like her son Cain did, the seed of the serpent. They're always doing it. They're always outside of this word. Now, brother, sister, there's got to be a way to know this word. And we know this word because thus saith the Lord came in a prophet. And God cannot back up anybody who says, thus saith the Lord, unless it is his prophet. What kind of a God would back up an imposter and him being the true God? Brother, sister, if you need to diss it. This world has never had anything to build its faith on since the day of the Apostle Paul like we've got.
Amen. Amen.
Today we are without excuse. No wonder he said, if you don't hear that prophet, I'll destroy utterly all that won't hear from among the people. That never took place when Jesus was here on earth. It's got to take place at the end time. And he won't be here by himself. He'll be here as a pillar of fire and a prophet. I can prove that. It won't take time. I may talk about it later. Now listen. Pentecostal shuck foreruns the Antichrist because all the poison of all ages pours into her. That's right. All the poison of all ages pour into the shuck. Now look it, I know that sounds horrible. Right away there again. What kind of a God are you talking about? They would take all the poison from all the seven church ages and put it in one, the seven. Well, what kind of a God was it said he visits the sins of the parents to the fourth generation? Huh? If you don't mind cutting your teeth on that, what's wrong with cutting your teeth on this one? Huh? Don't mean that sarcastically. I mean it the way it's said. Let's go to Matthew 23, 35, and 36. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Israel of his day, 2,000 years after Moses' law, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth from the blood of righteous Abel. More than 2,000 years. Unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the temple and altar. Verily I tell you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Why? Because he himself was there and they turned him down. And when he came back, as the word, they crucified him again. So he's got to do the same thing again. He's got to visit the poison of all ages upon the shuck. Now what's the shuck? It covers the real thing and looks so much like the real thing. If you don't know the shuck from the wheat, you won't bother splitting the husk off. You'll try to get the whole thing husked off and it'll kill you. Bread made with chaff cannot be eaten. Okay for horses. Okay for animals. That's why it's good for the servant. But it's not good for us. Have nothing to do with the shuck. Now let me mention something here so I get it clear. I heartily concur with what was said the other night. That if anybody can do anybody any good, thank God for it. My wife and I charged with Brother Vincent Peale. Now you know that he is greatly contrary to many things we believe. His statements are that the Catholics are making like the Protestants. Now if he means that just right, I agree, but if he means the way I think, he means it just wrong. You see, but I said, look, as long as that man can help somebody, they're not going to make it anyway. Thank God they're being helped. Now that's true. But when it comes to you and me, the prophet said, stay away from that stuff. Stay away. I can't eulogize these men. Thank God they're nice. Thank God they're sweet. Thank God they're helping folks. Sure, I thank God for that. I thank God for the wind, but what if it came and took the tent away? Same wind. I can't thank God that the tent was taken away, maybe, except in, I should thank him for all things work together for good. But you got to watch what you're doing here. How can you give God's speech to a man that God's against? How can you support a man and not be partakers of him? See? So let's watch carefully here now. Now, remember, the last plague is spiritual death. Why? Because it's harvest day. And there is death in the pot. Where is the death? In the chaff. Because the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. While the wheat he gathers in the garner. There's your mystery. We're looking right at it. We're looking it right in the eye. Looking it right in the eye. Sincere people. Kind, sweet, loving. That's why you can understand love's not the evidence. But because it's not the evidence, you'll say, well, I won't have any love. Glory to God, it's not the evidence. That's the old saying. Well, hallelujah. I've got eternal security. And as one man wrote in the book, he said, if Jesus Christ came and an elect member was in the arms of a harlot, he'd snatch her out of the arms of the harlot into a rapture. Now, boy, that was a mean one to say. I wouldn't write that if you paid me $1 million. Look, if you are eternally secure, that doesn't say you go out and sin because you're secure. You're just secure through Jesus Christ, the lovely Lamb pleading for us. Then you don't go out and abuse him. How can you say you love him and abuse him? Something's wrong somewhere. Well, all right, if love's not the evidence, it does me a glory to God, I'll hate everybody and have a good time doing it. Oh, no. It's just not the evidence, that's all. But you better stick with your love. And I'll tell you one thing, the most essential quality of love, as far as I know, is respect. That's why most marriages go haywire and the love goes out the window. The mutual respect is the first step to love, in love. It's the basic. It's the basic in marriage. Now, I don't want to sound too tough here, but I want to tell you, in some early marriage, it wouldn't have been bad at all. Now, I don't mean it the way I say it. Now, you remember this? It's on tape, so don't you lie about me. But I think sometimes a wife would have made her loving husband with a flat iron say, listen, fella, when you married me, you said love, and love means respect. And I'll tell you, mutual respect is where every marriage starts. And you young kids getting married, if you don't have respect in your home for each other, you ain't got love. Respect. Dignity. Is a great factor. So we don't throw love aside. See, it's the evidence. Certainly it is. Not the evidence, but being with the word's the evidence, but we walk in love. Now, there's our mystery. See, we're seeing it. Remember what Mr. Pentecost said. I repeated a couple nights ago. He said when he was in Rome, it was a breath of fresh air because he saw the glossolalia, the charismatic movement in the Roman Catholic Church bringing the world to Christ. That's a lie because the world goes to the Antichrist. But he branded it right. The charismatic move will bring them together.
Sure will.
Why? Chaff. Chaff. Don't underestimate chaff. Don't underestimate it. Why? Because it's the burning. And what is the chaff? It's the light that's in the residue of the wheat, the whole plant. And what's before the seed? Chaff. What came before us? Restoration of gifts. And right there, everybody got food. Oh, they said Luther went to seed. Sure. Wesley went to seed. But I want to tell you, Brother Vail, when it comes to those gifts of God, you got to have the baptism with the Holy Ghost to manifest those gifts. Therefore, if those gifts be manifested, they've got the Holy Ghost. Uh-huh.
What about Judas?
He cast out devils, healed the sick, and raised the dead. The Bible says so. And his name was taken out of the book of life. He never had the Holy Ghost. He had an anointing. Anointing. What about the devil? Was he anointed? What was he anointed with? Thou art the anointed cherub that covered. What was he anointing? Axle grease? No. Well, maybe it was another kind of anointing, like, say, castor oil. No. 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 Holy Spirit. Where's the Spirit? On your outside. Body, spirit, soul. The Spirit of God contacts that. You can walk right in and go away with any gift you want and end up in an alcoholic's grave. Blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ. Who said so? The prophet. Brother, sister, I love that doctrine. Not because I love it, because it's mean in the sense the word is hard. Cut your cross, your jags across you. But because that saved me from turning my back on the reality because I couldn't see it. I thought, like Pentecost, if I had a manifested ministry, it had to be genuine. Yes, the ministry is genuine. But God said at the end time, and remember, he said right after that anointing fell upon anybody and everybody who wanted it, then the great tribulation set in, not the millennium. Doesn't bring you to God. It'll take you away from God. Standing in a false security. Who says that I'm wrong? Brother Green talked last night about the two men that made this film. I was there with my wife the day they started. We met those two men. I also phoned that man. We knew of the film when I was in LA. I phoned. I suppose the reason he was so mean to Brother Green was because I liked to phone the guy first. And I got him kind of upset, so I kept myself very sweet as I could and under control. And he said, well, you know, Brother Vail, Brother Branham's in false doctrine. I said, what do you mean? Oh, well, he said, things that are not scriptural. Well, I said, my brother, you must remember that this man was vindicated. Well, he said, I am too. Oh, I said, is that so? He said, yes. He said, I've had visions, and right away I almost said, how many do you have? I was going to match him, see? I wasn't afraid to match him. He didn't know, but he had invited me to his church that very day the film was being made because he knew I had a gift ministry with a lot of discernment, which Brother Branham said, Lee, you had a lot of correct discernment, but you had some error proving it wasn't a God. Didn't say it wasn't a God, saying it wasn't right. And he said, that's my ministry, not yours. Don't you touch it. See? You see, he wanted me to come to his church. And he said, well, I've had some visions that came to pass. And I could have said, shall we match it? Because I've heard God's voice speak as clear as mine. I've seen visions of technicolor. I couldn't have taken him down that line where I defied the people to see if they could hide. Come on, I didn't know Brother Branham said that. I said, come on, stand in the pattern with me. Bring your priest, bring your minister, bring who you want. Let's see who can tell what's wrong. Let's see who's got the power of God, and the sick will be healed. And I didn't believe I had anything. I was willing to trust my God and put myself in the spot. And I knew I could back almost any man in the corner. Except those fellows with real gift ministry, the real gift of healing, like Brother Robertson. And I wouldn't touch those. I'd never challenge those guys. Because I know Robertson really has something. I've seen him. Seen him take a prayer line. We stand right there and there wasn't one miss but the first 12. Then he'd go on. I'm not running his name. I'm just saying, I'm just making comparisons. Now this man that the West Coast stood on the fact that he had some little thing from God. He never had thus said the Lord. I don't care if he emptied all the graveyards, he didn't have thus said the Lord. I don't care if he shadowed, healed the multitude, he didn't have thus said the Lord. And God said, you hear the man with thus said the Lord, and you fear him. So I'm going to listen to him, see? No matter what they think they have. Now that's nice, I'm glad that these things are here available. Now remember, because you have them in the wrong, it doesn't mean we shouldn't neglect them in the right. I believe God is still healing and blessing and manifesting himself amongst the bride. He's raised the dead on more than one occasion since Brother Branham's been gone. He's healed cancer. He's performed miracles. He's done great and wonderful things. And he's going to keep doing it more and more. Now notice, it's in a man. This spirit finally comes in man because you cannot crown a spirit. You got to crown a man. Now, notice how you could not teach Pentecostal church order. The angel of God said to Brother Branham, you can't teach Pentecostal baby's doctrine. They all backed away from church order. They backed away from what he set the church up in. Now remember, when you talk about church order, the Bible is full of it. It's not just in one place of it. Now, let's take some more time in this word iniquity. Okay? Back to Matthew 27-36. Warned you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Iniquity, lawlessness. Outside the word, beautiful, sweet, kind, nice. Warn you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Because you build the tombs of the prophets and you garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Now remember, when Jesus said this, he was a prophet. So therefore, if he manifests again at the end time in a prophet, he'll say the very same thing to the very same people. Brother Branham said concerning those scribes and Pharisees and Levites, why he said Jesus was a renegade alongside of them in love. Why he said they were so sweet and kind, butter wouldn't melt in their mouth. He said, but wait, that should have a little drama here. He said, the old priest comes and said, now son, don't fall for that renegade Jesus. He said, you know that I'm your old rabbi, your old pastor. Why he said, I was when you were brought in the world, I was with your mother and father. I was the one that circumcised you at the temple. He said, well, who was called upon when your father and mother had problems? Who was called upon when your marriage was going on the rock? Why, he said, you're kind old priest. Why, he said, now don't you listen to that renegade Jesus. You know what he did? You know what he did? He not only called himself God, the Son of God, he not only said he was the Messiah, but he took ropes and he made a cord out of those ropes and he whipped our fine men out of the temple. And you know, brother, sister, there's hardly anything meaner than a rope that goes, cuts across your flesh. Oh, brother, does it burn. And leaves all those little things that are festering away. Why, he said, you couldn't follow that fellow, would you? Kind old priest. What kind? The iniquitous kind. Lawless. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchre of the righteous. See what they're doing? They're still talking about Moses and sweet Paul and sweet men here. And even the Catholics are saying sweet Martin Luther. Oh, said Pope John, that sweet, 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 sweet man. He said, only if we had not done this terrible thing. And then Pope Paul came, and he said about that sweet, sweet, sweet John. He said, if John had only been Pope instead of Leo, we would not have had that break. And because they're going to be sweet, 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 sweet once more. The wolf in sheep clothing, the shuck in all its glory, will sweep the world to the feet of the Antichrist. And they're going to sing sweet Jesus. Worshipping, that's right, I'm not mocking now, because this is the truth. They are literally a shuck now, and shuck they will remain. And you know that thus saith the Lord, because William Branham said it. Now, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. The Catholics are saying it right now. Our daughter goes lives in Lima, and right there, she has one of her best friends as a sweet, elderly, Catholic girl, a widow. Fine, lovely woman. And she literally cried in her daughter's shoulder. She said, Carol, I don't understand it. What we were taught as being wrong 20 years ago, the church is doing it. The priest is speaking in tongues, and they're exercising gifts, and I just can't figure it. They're garnishing the tomb. Yeah, and they're saying to Shuck, Hail thou Shuck, thou art full of life, give us thy light. The Shuck is full of death. The accumulated poison and wrath is on this generation. Mark it, brother, sister. I'm not preaching unkind. Not that I don't have a kind word for them. They're some of the sweetest people in this world. But brother, sister, I can't help what that is. I've got to go to the Word of God. I've got to trust this Word of God and live, or go away from this Word of God and die. I've got to trust the revelation and throw my own mind out and live, or bring my mind in and die. See, I've got a choice. Life and death is set before me this day. The last plague is spiritual death. Now, and faith, if we'd been the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, be witness unto yourselves, you are the children of them that killed the prophets. Catholics are still Catholics. Lutherans are still Lutherans. Pentecostals are still Pentecostals. Come out of them, my people. Where are they? Did they come out? No. They're still with their fathers. Their blood is in their veins. Their word is in their veins. Their life is in their veins. And they'll do the same thing they'll crucify Christ afresh. You follow me? They've done it. They've already done it. Listen, fill up the measure of your fathers. You serpent. That's right. You serpent seed. You canine. You generation of vipers. A generation, a whole generation. As Peter said, brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. How can you escape the damnation of hell? How can they do it? They can't. Wherefore, behold, listen. I send to you prophets and wise men. A prophet's a man with the word. A wise man can take the word and expound upon it. That which the prophet gave. The scribe can simply write it or say it. And some of them you'll kill and crucify. Some of them you'll scourge in your synagogue and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechiah, upon whom you slew between the temple and altar. Verily I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. See? Notice that verse over there in 28. Even so outwardly appear righteous unto men. Outwardly appear righteous, going through the form, saying the same thing, looking very good and all. But remember, Brother Branham said, Cain's sacrifice was prettier and nicer than Abel. Abel stunk. What do you think a lamb does when you're going to kill it? It's full of fear. It defecates, paps all over you, comes to the soil. That blood oozing out, stinking, smelling, gooey, messy. You bunch of messy renegades that follow that brand of message, believing a serpent seed, you foul-minded bunch of filth. Talk about a woman with an animal. Then you talk as though you've got something to exclude everybody. Like a good friend of ours said to my wife one day, I won't just say who he was, but he said to her, the way you people talk, it sounds like you're the only one that's going to make it. Who do you think you are? Well, Brother Cain, your offering is so sweet. Oh, smell those flowers. And I'd like to taste those grapes, but they're offered to the Lord. God who said, and go to the Lord. I'd just like to have one of those. Yeah, I'll just be a partaker with you. Yeah. Go ahead. That'll do it. You don't stop. We're not here as a thing of beauty. There's no beauty to desire in Christ and want to look for it now. If you're looking for talent and beautiful women, singers up here with coiffed hair and lovely short skirts to seduce you, and all these nice things, don't look to us, bless God, because our lady's got long sleeves pretty well, at least longer than the other gals got, and they got their hair done, the bun and all that sort of thing, and they look kind of dowdy, but they got character, thank God, which is more than the other guys. Listen, Jesus called them hypocrites, playing a part on the stage, make-believe. Just like over here in 2 Thessalonians, that second chapter. And the fourth verse, who opposes and calleth and exalts himself above all that's called God or is worshiped, so that he is God. He's not, though, sitting in the temple of God. He's not, though, showing himself that he's God. He's not. He's the great hypocrite of all time. This
hypocritical spirit of this generation brings forth the great hypocrite of all ages. And I said hypocrite, and I mean it.
Amen.
You say, why, Brother Bale? I'm telling you, he has thus saith the Lord. For the last month, God's been telling me to scream it out. He has thus saith the Lord. I want you to rake it across your heart and your mind. Because your waking moments, your dreams are full of it. He has thus saith the Lord. You heard God when you heard his voice. God was talking. You show me the words a man will do what his words did. Hypocrite. The spirit of a hypocrite. And all this out around it. Again, I say, this is why I go home and I feel mean. I feel dirty almost, unclean. Because I've got to cut it so fine that we're going to exclude everybody but a handful in the ark. We're like Noah. You're like Noah. I'm like Noah. I'm going to put it on you this morning. You're like Noah. You're one of those eight in the ark. The minute you listen to a fellow like me who does his best to try to preach exactly what Brother Branham taught, you are one of Noah's children in that ark. You're one of those who shut the door. You're one of those who hear the screams of the dying outside. You're one of those that are locked in with God. They're locked out. You're one who brought that word to you and they turned it down. We're going to share the blame this morning. Now you go home and think about it. Now you go home and let your body bounce up and down with nerves. Now you go home and let your mouth quiver. You go home now. I'm talking in love. I'm not mean. I just want you to know, brother, that I am not mean when I talk this way. I'm telling you the truth. You're part of it. I'm part of it. There's only one vine, but a lot of branches. I'm not here to condemn anybody. Neither are you. We've got to take a stand. And that stand is with that word. And that word is with that man. I lived around that man. In his home. Yeah. Accidentally didn't mean to be there. I went down the time of the Kentucky Derby, and I said, Brother Brown, I want to get a motel. He said, you ain't going to get one. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're staying with me. Well, I said, no, I'm not. You know. I said, I came to visit, not to bother you. Well, he said, where are you going to go? I said, well, I'll go out of town away. He said, that's a joke. I said, well, you can't tell me. He said, the Kentucky Derby's here. You won't get one in 50 miles. You might as well stay home. He said, you need to make up the bed. I've been in his home, made at his table. Been in campaigns and preached many times for him, discussed things by hour after hour. You talk about a man, how this may floor you. But it wasn't Brother Branham I loved only as a prophet. That was wonderful. But I loved him as a man. I have never known a man more of a man who was a man, a real man, than that man. You can't say that about a lot of folks. Because they do their best to servants of God and they're nice folk. But brother, sister, when you ring from center to circumference, a real man, and he's the only man I've ever met who was bigger on the inside than he was on the outside. He was more man on the inside than he was on the outside. He fooled a lot of people. Yeah. Man, all the way. I believe in the millennium will even be better than that. And I said, oh, that's going to be a very fine place. That's going to be a very fine place. Believe me, take my witness for it. Now, we go further. Notice, in Jesus, how he avoided iniquity because he said, only what I see my Father do I do. I am one with the revelation of God. Notice also, in Hebrews, the first chapter, and the 9th verse. See, that's why he was a successful high priest, because he kept in all points like as we, but he followed the Lord. Now, thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. You hated to be outside of that word. At the end time, they loved being outside of the word. They take pleasure in it. He loved righteousness. What was righteousness? Worshipping God and living with God according to the dictates of God. See, word within the word. The bride must be word all the way through. As Brother Brown said, you don't take a cell of a dog and add it to a cat. The bride is word, 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 word. Well, that's all you people know, just word, word, word. Oh, I wish I knew it better. Thanks for the compliment. Now, notice what it says Jesus did for us. 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 14. Wherefore, whereunto he called us by our gospel, called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get in his glory? Through the word. Dear Brother Bale, I'm going to make that glory by my own church system. No, you're not. I'm sorry for you. I'm not going to argue and fuss. But I've got to make a plain, blank statement by a vindicated prophet. Now, he said you won't do it. Now, where's your prophet? See, where's your vindication? Some doctor with a test tube? Brother Branham said to me many, many years ago, cancer's a virus. They finally found out it was. Why'd they go to the prophet? Why, he said, they're not seeing that far out in space. It's going in a circle. They finally understand that's true, too. They should have gone to the prophet. Would have saved himself a whole lot of trouble. Brother, if you want to be efficient, go to the Word of God. Just right. Get rid of your test tubes and all that sort of malarkey. Now, let's drop back to his title. Because we've got to see about this fellow at this end time and what's going on in this day. He's called the son of perdition. Perdition means destruction, spiritual, eternal disaster, absolute ruin as far as the purpose and existence is concerned. He said concerning Judas, it was good this man were never born. Those in the church system, my brother and my sister, will be so destroyed that they have no purpose of having existed, and they'll have nothing in their favor at the white throne judgment. To turn down this word. Now, if they never heard it, that's different. If it never came, that's different. But when you come across this word, and you see the vindicated prophet know the truth of God, the Bible says here, it were better that you weren't born. You will find no reason for having existed. A wasted life. What a tragedy. You know what happened? Alas, Babylon. The smoke of her torment going up. And they say, look at those beautiful cathedrals are being destroyed. The lovely hospitals. Oh, those roads that we took so many years and we finally got them and now they're all shut. The last battle. Tragic for those of that spirit. They are living for God in their own way, but utterly lost. Just like this man, this Antichrist. Notice in verse 4. The opposer and exalt himself all above all that's called God. Now listen, if you are an opposing, then you are an opponent. To oppose is to make you an opponent. To exalt is to make yourself an exalter. Remember that when Eve, now listen, remember now, to oppose and to exalt. The church is doing it. We ought to see in spirit. Now remember, when Eve was deceived, now get this carefully, I don't want you to miss it. When Eve was deceived, she became a part of the entire plot against God. Oh, no, Brother Dale. You don't mean that that poor little woman, because she was deceived, became a part of that plot? You've got to be kidding. What do you think you're in sin for today? Where do you think all this mess came from? Who do you think brought her to it? Satan standing back and saying, well, I tell you now, I've got it all figured out. I'll just say the human race will go down the drain. It'll go down the drain. He couldn't be still shouting that, and we wouldn't be down the drain. Adam and Eve would still be in Eden. He said, I'll go down, and I'll get in the serpent, and I'll get her deceived, and I'll get them both in my claw. Then he said, my plot will go forward, and I'll take over God. Eve became a part of the plot against God through deception. Then what about this age that's deceived? Now we're cutting it fine. Now look, I'm honest. I'm human, so are you. Right this morning, preaching this sermon, you're only right here, right? It hasn't got down in here. It's hard to take. I can feel. I'm no prophet. I can feel. I know what you're feeling. I know what I'm feeling. We're saying, oh, that's right. But we don't want to open the heart and say, my God, how true it is. How true it is. That this is it. Then you see, when you say it, you'll say, well, what manner of men ought we to be then, Lord, if they with that will go down? And oh God, what should we be like? Then you start climbing those steps. But if you don't let it get past the top of your heart, brother, sister, your camp meeting's in vain, because I am preaching you the Word of God, and I know it, and you know it, because I can back up everything I say by faith. He's an exalter. Let's just look at this fact of opposer and exalter, the opponent of God, the exalter of himself. Let's just go to Zechariah 3:1, shall we? It might be interesting to find out about this. Okay. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of God, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. The word oppose, resistance to oppose. All right. Satan is the great opposer. He is also the great exalter. Now, the word opposed, literal translation. I got several references, look them up yourself. He opposes Christ, Luke 13:17. He opposes the elect, Luke 21:15. He opposes the word, 1 Timothy 1:10. Look them up yourself. Now, a literal translation for the word opposed is one who sits over against. One who sits over against. He's against. Not sitting against the wall. He's sitting over there and he's against. In other words, he's not with Christ. He's acting like Christ. He's against Christ, pretending he is Christ. Is not this the Antichrist posing reality but is a fraud? Is not this the Pope, the vicar? He said, I'm the vicar of Christ. Now remember, the word Antichrist is not anti-against, although it means that. Finally, the word anti means instead. It's in the Church Age book. It's on a tape of Brother Brown. He understood it. Anti means instead of. Now look at, he's instead of, but he's opposing. Here these men stand and say, I want to tell you, dearly beloved, God called me to preach his word. I'm here as your faithful servant. I'm doing my best to serve you. And he gives you a false doctrine. He stands in the stead of God's elected anointed preacher. He stands in the stead of Christ himself, because we're ambassadors. See? And he's against the very Christ that he says he represents. The two spirits are so close that only the very, not just elected, brother, sister, but the very elected will not be deceived. Exalter. Quoted from Daniel 11:36. Let's look at it. That's your last of your greater prophets there. Daniel 11:36. And the king will do it according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, shall prosper until the indignation be accomplished. You know the indignation, the overspreading abomination, sure. For that which is determined shall be done. Here it is, it tells you. He is the great exalter. He exalts himself. Now remember, this is Laodicea. Now if you want to read some more scriptures on that, Ezekiel 28:14-19, Isaiah 14:12-17, and especially notice verses 13 and 14. But remember, this age exalts itself against God because it puts him out of the church and says, we don't need a thing, and all the time they think they have God, they have him not. Now, I trust you notice the spirit of opposition, or anarchy, the same thing, is exaltation. Self-exaltation. We don't need anything. Now, see where that leads? So that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The overspreading of abomination of the Pope in Jerusalem, making all the world worship him. Also, he will take over the temple, which is the people. He will run them completely. Now notice, how does this terrible spirit fit in today? It is simple. Men operating spiritual gifts, apart from the Word of God, anointed in the same way Satan was, but they are anointed and bring in the tribulation, some darken, moon turn to blood, but you know, upon the earth, they will not bring the millennium. Now, do not the people with the anointing today act as Satan and see the church bypass the very word of God and attempt to worship God in self-will? Be sincere but wrong. Is this what it means when this man makes himself God? Well, partly because that's the spirit that does it. See? The church builds an image to him and gives him power. I said the church gives him the power. See? Without the church, he could not be anything. My. Isn't that strange? The world doesn't know this. They just think an obscure monster is going to rise out of communism, destroying the church. That is a lie. He comes right out of the church, so the church, the seed of Antichrist, is in the church. And she's a woman. No male sperm will come forth as a child unless it unites with the egg of the woman in the woman. Neither will you have an Antichrist unless that satanic sperm meets with the church egg in the church and brings forth an Antichrist. Absolutely! It's the church that's going to do this. And remember, the shuck is there at the top of it, because the shuck is the last force. Brother, sister, this is more serious than we realize. When that prophet hit up what he hit, he wasn't fighting anybody, teaching the word of God. Then in verse 8 it says, God's bright coming will destroy the lawless one. Here is where he becomes a son of perdition, son of destruction and ruin. It does not mean annihilation, because this comes later. But it means his system and all those who follow him perish. All the wealth and accumulation of all the members and all those that they got by their missionary effort, everything is going to be shaken down, as I said a while ago, a last Babylon. Only treasures in heaven will matter then. As Brother Branham said, covet not this earth's vain riches. Now, verse 9, after the working of Satan, actually belongs to verse 4, up there where he's worshipped as God, because it tells you how he's able to get there. It is what we've been saying all along. The mystery of iniquity is a great power ministry that deceives the people. I used to say the miracles of Matthew 24 and 24 were not genuine, but according to the Greek they are. I also used to believe that over here, that this man had lying signs and wonders. According to the Greek, he himself produces genuine signs and wonders, just like the Bible delineates, but he does it to the end that he deceives the people. And why not? Because if Christ is the great prophet, then Satan is the great false prophet. Right? Certainly. And his emissaries are missionaries of light, but internally they're full of destruction. Now, this is according to Deuteronomy 13 and 2 Chronicles 18, 19 to 23. And you can read it for yourself. Now, for further proof, the words, whose coming is after the working of Satan, this man works on Satan's plan. And what did Satan do at the beginning? He bypassed the Word of God. He made the Word of God contradictory. He made the Word of God fight the Word of God in order to lead Eve to her deception. Now, notice in 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, in verse 13, here's your bride. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, notice, you heard it of us, you received it not as the word of man, no sir. He didn't say, well, that's just another fellow standing up there, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you to believe. Now, brother and sister, here's where I stand. I don't want to divert too long in my message, but here's where I stand today concerning William Branham's message and the place we're in this very day. The Word of God is effectually working in us. How it's doing it, I don't know and you don't know, except for this thing. We're getting a keener and brighter revelation day by day on what he taught. And one day that effectual Word, which has in it the full power of transformation, is going to change us and put us in a rapture. And I believe I'm saying the true thing. I do not look for another man's word. I am not looking for something down the road, though it's coming. I'm looking right today for this word to do its work in me. And if I am seed, then it will be done. Amen. You can look for what you want. You may look for another church messenger. You may look for signs and wonders. I'm not doing it. Brother, sister, I'm like that stupid old farmer. He had a rooster and a bunch of hens. He knew the eggs were fertilized. He had a broody old hen. And he put the eggs under the hen and he said, okay, girl, bring them out. I'm just that stupid.
I'm stupid enough to believe that God sent a prophet with the Word of God. I'm stupid enough to believe it was the Word of God He gave it. I'm stupid enough to believe that Word's in me. So I'm stupid enough to believe, okay, Word, go to work.
Amen.
By grace, you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself is a gift of God.
Amen.
I hope you're stupid with me, because misery loves company. No. We all love company. I believe we're in glorious company. We're in company with the prophet, because he said the simplicity of the whole thing is where they're going to get lost. What was more simple than a vindicated word coming to a bunch of eagle eggs to fertilize those eggs to bring forth the eagle? Remember, brother, sister, we are not in the age of the man. We don't reason. We're in the age of the eagle. The eye does not reason. It simply takes what it sees. It's the brain that reasons. Forget the brain. One of these days, the mind of Christ will take over. Now, we're going on. Verse 10. If you're tired, stand up and rest yourself. I'm just standing up and I'm tired, but I won't sit down. But you can stand up if you want to. Just don't leave, because then I'll think you don't love Brother Gunther anymore. I sure got that in good, didn't I? That's why they call me Sneaky Dale. All right. The 10th verse. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now remember, what was the original unrighteousness? It was worshiping God willfully instead of by the word through Cain. In them that perish. Who are they that perish? They that take the mark of the beast. What are they doing? They're worshiping and doing his will through the adulterated word by self-worship. Isn't that what the prophet does? Why must this occur? Because they turned down the love of the truth. Right? What was that last word of truth? Hebrews 6. Let's read it again, just those words. For it's impossible for those who are once for all in life. What's once for all? Johnny said to mother, if you slam that screen door, for the last time, once and for all, I'm telling you, whap, right across the ears. So he goes through the door gently, he doesn't slam. And then he forgets. Wham goes the door. Wham goes her hand. See? He had it for the last time, or he didn't. The once for all enlightened. God speaking from heaven in Hebrews 12 for the last time, and it all comes down if you don't listen. Now, enlightenment, the word of God. Now listen, they can taste and will taste the heavenly gift. They will be made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They will taste the good word of God. They will taste the power of the world to come, and they'll fall away. They'll fall away. Every one of those things took place in the ministry of William Branham. They wouldn't stay with the word. They fell away. Listen, Brother Branham talked about Urim and Thummim, is that right? In the Greek, Urim and Thummim, Exodus 28:30, is manifestation and truth. The words Urim and Thummim mean manifestation and truth. William Branham brought the Word of God into full manifestation. He proved it was. It was the truth. We stand on it. Jesus did the same thing. Now don't cringe, but notice 11 and 12. And for this cause, God, not the devil, not preachers like me, Brother Gunther, Brother Rosinski, Brother Perry and different ones. No. Not like Brother Lambert, not down there as Brother Lindsay, no. We don't do it. No. No, sir. Not even the preachers out there with the false anointing who said Brother Branham has a devil, he is a wicked person, he's a deceiver. Not like this. No, sir. No, not those. It says God will send them strong believers. You know something? He already did it. The very message that God said that opened your eyes and mine blinded theirs. He already sent. You know what they do now? They believe the lie. Now remember, in the Greek, the lie is not a lie, the lie. Satan's original lie. Sure, you won't die. No, you got eternal life. No worries. Well, you know we got eternal. Look how we live. Well, look at sister, please now, sister, don't fall for that brand new stuff. Look, honey, I want to tell you something. You know I'm up in years now, I'm 59 years old, you might say. I was a drunken, terrible sinner when I was 49. Beating my wife and my kids, I was thrown in jail, in fact, I murdered a man. But Jesus came in and saved me. He changed my life, I'm full of love and joy and heaven. Let that man go to India. You tell those Hindus over there that you were saved at 59 because you're such a 45 because you're such a terrible drunkard. And he said, boy, he said, you sure need to get saved. What do you mean by that? Well, I got God. Well, he said, man, you sure need him. You're that kind of a guy. I've had him all my life. I never drank. I never smoked. I never beat anybody. I've always loved the Lord. What are you going to say to a guy like that? Where's your evidence now? Where's your evidence? He can produce any evidence you can produce. Brother Branham said Janus and Jambres could absolutely out-evidence Moses if it was necessary. They didn't have to upset the Lord, brother, sister. They won't know that word. Now listen, they believe the lie. They believe the lie. We're okay. We're going to make it. In the face of Brother Branham saying you won't. In the face of Moses saying put the blood there, you won't make it. Believe the covenant, you won't make it. They didn't make it. They wouldn't believe the covenant. Now listen, they took pleasure in believing it. It means they went on more convinced than ever in the way they were going. Now listen, I don't pretend to be a wondrous preacher par excellence, as though I'm the world's best. But brother, I got about 6 pages of closely typewritten notes on the Godhead that are very, very, very complete. Takes me about 3 2-hour sermons to preach it. And I still don't know all. I still don't know like I want to know it. I remember preaching in a city. I laid the whole thing bare. When I got through, a man came up, laughed in my face, shook my hand, and he said, in spite of it all, I'm a more convinced Trinitarian ever since I heard you. Then he came back to me because I preached like I'm preaching now. And he tried to take me over the coal for exposing anointed ones to the end day. And I said, brother, sit down. I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, was Judas of God or the devil? He said, well, he was the devil. I said, did Judas have anointing of the Holy Ghost to perform the same miracles that the rest did? He wouldn't ask me. I said, you know he did. I said, you know he had the same miracles the rest did, cast out devils? And he himself was full of the prince of the devils. As Brother Branham said, you can be as devil-possessed as all get out and still manifest spiritual gifts. And when I tied him down, he would not answer me. He walked out. And when it came to the knowledge of the truth, that a man going around America, I won't mention his name in case you know him, attempted to seduce sexually 3 maiden ladies of that town and did his best to break the door down to get in their apartment, and has a name for messing with women. I can tell you his name if I have to. You know what he said to me? He said, please don't tell my wife, she might get disappointed. You'll never open their eyes. They're happy the way they are. They love their system. They love their lives. Now, you see, I'm not happy about talking about him. I didn't tell you his name, so that could apply to just anybody. See? And I don't make this part of my life to run a man down. I'm just illustrating and showing you that this man will take anything at all you hand him as long as his tongue's evident. The guy spoke in tongues. The man had a miracle. Brother, sister, if he doesn't have the word in the life, the Bible says, shun that man. But what does it say to the bride? Verse 13. We're bound to give thanks always to God, you brethren, because beloved the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, wherein he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the last words I want to deal with, Paul said, let no man beguile you. He said, in that day it was a long time off, but today we're right at hand. Now the word beguile is from the Greek word spatio, which is used in Romans 7:11 to set forth the influence of sin. To be beguiled, brother, sister, is to be a sinner. And remember, sinners don't make it to heaven. It's the saints. They used to be sinner does. But if you're deceived, you're not a saint. You're a sinner. If you fall under the influence. It also means self-deception. Well, bless God, I want to tell you, I've had a few miracles in my life. I don't have to listen to William Branham. Listen, I want to tell you, I've been a good boy for years. I was saved when I was 16 years of age. I spoke with tongues, and I've been serving the Lord all the time. I want to tell you, I just can't believe I couldn't be right. Well, brother, sister, I'm glad I'm not that nature. I can't believe I could be right. I'm glad I got a prophet to tell me. He has thus said the Lord. It's used of Satan, the great deceiver. It's used of men as instruments to destroy others. Deception. Beguile. Now, listen to me. Satan himself did not deceive Eve. He used a serpent. The devil himself is not deceiving us. He's using instruments. Paul said in the last day, Jannes and Jambres would be on the scene. He said they'd do the same thing to the Moses of that day. But their folly would be made known. Brother, sister, we've had a Moses in this day. We have. We've had a Moses. You say, Brother Baal, I'll be with Elijah. Oh, come on now. There's only one Spirit of God. Calling Moses, calling Elijah. It's all the same thing. It merely indicates the personality of the type of ministry. But remember, he's got to be Moses to get us out. He's got to be Elijah to restore us. The same Spirit. That great ministry was here. We saw it. We know it. He has thus said the Lord. Brother, sister, let's stick with the Word of God today. Because, believe me, I've not done one thing as far as I know to get off the Word, as Brother Branham taught. There is a church system. That's right. Whether you belong to it or independent, it'll get you. Or you'll pay a price of your life if you don't come out with the Word in obedience to the Word and then dedicate yourself and myself to that same Word. Because remember, every Word of God has life in it. And if we have that Word in us, we're duty-bound to produce some of that life, perhaps not all of it, because there's ministries involved, but brother, sister, somewhere down that line, we're producing that life. Or we just got a testimony, that's all we got. We don't have it. You follow me this morning? The mystery of iniquity. The teaching of it. It's not the fellow down the street guzzling alcohol, washed up alcohol, till in blind rage he robs the bank and kills the people, although that could be part of it. The mystery, that peculiar aura that lies in the teaching, is right in your church system. Fine, upright, conscientious, try to be godly, sincere people, duped, deceived by a church system of creeds and dogmas and codes, attempt to worship God just like Cain, prophesying were just like Balaam, and they go down the road to destruction, believing they're right, believing the devil's lie, but they're 100% wrong, because they wouldn't hear the truth, the vindicated word of a prophet. Oh, I thank God for a prophet, brother, sister, and I thank God above the prophet for the word. I thank God for that Jesus allowed me to have a party, and I'm trusting and praying that I might exhibit to those round about me that not only am I would be a credit to Jesus Christ, because many a man could look like a credit, but may I be a genuine credit to Jesus Christ, one with that word. The Lord bless you, shall we rise? Gracious Heavenly Father, about to go on our way now, Lord. hearing those things, Jesus, in a little different way, different words from what the prophet said to them, but knowing that they're the very same thing. Because they were so hard for us to grasp to and just realize, oh, is this it? Hearing that man preach way back there, thinking, what's he trying to say? He's got it all and nobody got anything? Oh, Lord, it must have been hard for that man to say that the way he said it. It must have cut into ribbons, Lord. And then being misunderstood, seeing toss and sickness on that bed, eyes almost wild, thinking he's a failure, although he did his dead level best. Lord, knowing the anguish he suffered, because it is an anguish many times to serve you, not that we have the thumbscrews put upon us, not that we're made to walk into on hot rocks or to be cast into lion's den, but an anguish there, Lord, in this wrath. Oh, God, is every word exactly right? Have I been a traitor to Christ the Word? Is everything just exactly right? Is my life such that though I speak right, it might be wrong, they won't listen? Then I put it all together. And Lord, I know what he felt like, and I know what the ministers feel like, and I know what the people feel like, because we're all one bread. It's all one body, though many members just still members of each other. And we don't see a hand, we don't see a foot, we just see a body. And there's every one of us here this morning, Lord, know absolutely that we're going through this grinding, nervous stage. But oh, there is a God in heaven, hallelujah. And though the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking to devour us, we're not going to be devoured, no sir. But rather, we're going to swallow up death because of Jesus Christ our Lord and not be swallowed up of it. Lord, today we have the assurance. And oh God, we know that though we're walking in the day like poor old Abraham there, and every moment he was getting older and older, and until the very last moment before he was changed, it was the worst moment of his life. He was the furthest from it. And then suddenly the word of promise came. It was time to be fulfilled. And as Brother Branham said, like a little wind, like a little sweep, walking down that road, we're going to be changed. Oh, God, I know that's the truth. Heart of mine received that truth. Mind of mine received that truth. Every cell in my body received the truth. Cast thou down every idol. Reject everything, O thou body that claims to belong to Jesus Christ. That we might all be one together in the Spirit of Jesus Christ by the revealed word of Almighty God. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory to Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you. Brother.